The following hadith عن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال If you put a sharp sword on this, referring to his neck, and I became certain that it will go through, I will for sure report any word I hear from the Messenger of Allah before you finish me. Reported by Bukhari without a chain in the section of knowledge, and also by Ad-Darimi, and judged to be complete chain and authentic. And this sword is referring to Samasa. This is the sword which is not weak, you can twist. Which means I will bear any struggle and any difficulties till I deliver the prophetic saying and the preaching for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if this lead me to death. Comment from Ahmed Darwish, look at this, is a maximum of freedom of speech, even he has no freedom. Which means a prophetic saying has to move on. The following one on Iyad ibn Himar al-Mujashi'i, may Allah be pleased with him, said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a sermon he delivered, he said, indeed Allah azza wa jal amarani, indeed Allah the mighty, the glorified, order me that I teach you what you are ignorant of that which he taught me today. And he added, everything I gifted my worshippers, it is legal for them. Reported by Ahmed from two different sources, both are authentic. And it is a part of a prophetic saying which will come later. And from such a prophetic saying, the scholar came up with a ruling which everything originally at source is permitted till some regulation come and forbid it. Next section regarding private or special classes for ladies and Islamic circles to teach them. Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to admonish us in some of the days, not all, hating that we become bored. Reported by Ahmad, Bukhari in the section of knowledge, Muslim in the attributes of the hypocrites, and Tirmizi in the section of good manner. So he's referring to the time in which people are in a mood to accept, not in a time when they are tired and bored, and not continuously, so kind of giving them time of break time. Therefore, the preacher and the bearer of Islamic knowledge should learn from this. The following hadith via Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with both of them, he said, teach the people every Friday once. And if you insist, make it, if you don't want that, make it twice a week. And the max you can do three times. And don't make the people bored of this Quran. So I don't want to see you to come to the people while they are indulged in their own conversation. Then you force yourself by teaching them your own phrasing, making them bored. But you listen to them. So if they ask of you to teach them while they are desiring it, having appetite for it, so do so. And avoid the language which kind of like musical rhythm. Because I note that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion used not to do so. Reporting Bukhari in the supplication chapter regarding what is disliked of the rhythming in supplication. The following hadith via Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, the woman told the Prophet, like ladies told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, men overcome us, meaning they took most of the time of the Prophet. So make for us a day by yourself. So he promised them a day to meet them, admonish them, and instruct them. And amongst what he taught them, that if any one of you will lose three of her children, meaning after, like during birth or after birth and so forth, children, babies, they will be a barrier from hell to her. So one woman said, how about two? He said, and two. Reported in Bukhari in the knowledge section and in the funeral section and the adhering of the Quran and Hadith section. While Muslim reported in righteousness and in keeping up with the relative relations. So this Hadith teach us to make a special teaching time for ladies and young girls, or young female youth, aside from men, who are strange to them. So also the person who to teach has to be married, and it's better to be aged man, old man, having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while the lady should be covered and not showing off what tempt him or seduce him. This is only if there is no a female knowledge lady. If it is, then she should carry on teaching the ladies, as Lady Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, used to do, to avoid any shortcoming or any disaster. Because no man can be on the same stage of piety and holding himself like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a perfect human being, received revelation and with holy protection. And even his own Satan was embraced Islam. That is that every human have a jinn accompany him, whispering to him. The next section regarding guiding to good and the virtue of sending delegations to teach Islamic Islamic knowledge, meaning Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, and Seerah. Reported via Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whosoever invites to guidance, he receive a wage as the wage of those who follow him, and nothing is diminished from their total reward. And whosoever invite to error, shortcoming, he will receive his share of sin, the same like the total of the sin of those who follow him, nothing diminished from that total. Reported by Ahmad, Muslim in the Knowledge, Abu Dawood in the Prophetic Ways, and Tirmizi in the Section of Knowledge, and also Ibn Majah. The following had the prophetic saying via Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, may Allah be pleased with both of them, means Jarir ibn Abdullah and Abdullah. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever establish a good way for him, its reward, and the reward of those who practice it after him without diminishing or reducing any of their reward. And whosoever establish a bad practice, upon him will be the sin, its sin, and the sin of those who practice it after him, without reducing any of the total of their sin. Reported by Ahmad, Musnad Ahmad, in five places. Reported in by Muslim in the Obligatory Charity and in Knowledge sections, as a lengthy profiting saying. I'll also report it in the Knowledge, Tirmizi in the Knowledge section, Nisa'i in the prophetic, in the Obligatory Zakah, and Ibn Majah in his introduction. Imam Nawawi, may Allah have mercy on him, in his explanation of Muslim in the section of Knowledge, said these two previous profiting saying, they made it clear to encourage people to establish good ways and means, and also to forbid the bad ways. And whosoever establish a good way, he receive its reward, and the reward of everybody practice it up to your day of judgment. And the opposite, whosoever establish a bad sin, its recompense, and the recompense of those who follow it up to the day of judgment will be his. And whosoever invite and guide to as such, he will to a guidance, he will receive the reward of those who follow up to the day of judgment. Or if he invite for error and wrong ways, he will receive the sins of all its all the practitioners of it. So whether it is guidance or error, if he started it, or even if it was before him and he revived it, they both will be the same. In the same spirit, whosoever study knowledge or practicing of worshipping or good manner and so forth, it will apply the same methodology of reward. And in the section of Obligatory Charity, he said regarding hadith of Jarir, that this hadith saying that the Prophet ﷺ said, every new thing is an innovation, and every innovation is an error. He said this is regarding, he's talking on that, regarding only the negative innovations, the wrong, and the wrongdoing in the negative area, and the sinning and so forth. Which means that practice which is against the textual instruction of Quran Hadith, in which there is no, for that innovation, there is no any proof for it. While Imam Bayhaqi, may Allah have mercy on him, he said in the characteristic and autobiography of Imam Shafi, may Allah be pleased with him, that he said that the new innovation are two kind. One is what is differing, not in the spirit of the Holy Quran or the prophetic saying and the companion and the collective practice of his, the companion, all companions. This is which is the innovation of error. While the other one, the second one, is what is innovated in the spirit of good. There is no differences between any ulama, any scholars of Islam, that this is not but good. Nobody describe it with any negativity. Tell Omar, the caliph, may Allah be pleased with him, he said regarding establishing the Ramadan night prayer, showing collectively in the masjid how wonderful this innovation. He said that. Imam Nawawi also said in the book of Friday, in his explanation of Muslim regarding Hadith Jabir, وَكُلِّ بِدْعَ ضَلَالَ, every innovation is an error. He said this is general talk, but it has what classified, in which most innovation as such, though the innovation are classified into five ranks, and that general ones are going to be judged underneath these five. The five ranks are going to be explained shortly, just bear with me. So the ulama, may Allah have mercy on them, they classified the ruling, Islamic ruling, in five ways. What's forbidden, what's obligatory, what is likable, what is disliked, and what is just norm, open, you practice or not. Al-Aiz ibn Abd Salam in his book The Foundations, and Imam Nawawi in his book Al-Asma' wal-Lughat, and Hafiz ibn Hajar in the section of fasting and in the adhering to the sun, to the Quran and Hadith, from his Fath al-Bari, the great reference of explaining Bukhari, he said, this is a finale scientific total conclusion, that if the innovation under section of what is likable in Sharia, so it is likable. And if it is under disliked item, so it is disliked. Otherwise, it is like open option, you do or not to do, it's okay. And it is, accordingly, goes into the five rules. Al-Qurafi and Ibn Naji, in his explanation of Ibn Abi Yazid, Risalat Ibn Abi Yazid, this is a short statement, short abridged statements on fiqh of Imam Malik. He also referenced that, look at the explanation of Tirmizi ibn Arabi when he's speaking about Hadith al-Arbad, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us an admonition, and the explanation of the 40 Hadith by Ibn Rajab, and Jami' al-Usul wa al-Nahaya fi Gharib al-Hadith, and also al-Ubbi ala Muslim and the Tafsir of Qurtubi and Futuhat ibn al-Arabi. All these references detailed the conclusion which we just translated for you. Note from Ahmed ibn Darwish. So this hardliner of either ISS or the Nagd people, Wahhabis and follower Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab and Ibn Taymiyyah, when they make an opinion and they say this is a religion and everybody else just head the highway, this is not right, because they have limitation of understanding of bid'ah. Everything they see, they consider it bid'ah. And in the early days, when they used to go to hotels, they take the TV, put it outside the room, because it is bid'ah. Of course, the TV, it is a mean in itself. You can turn on the Quran channel, or you turn on a bad channel. So it is up to you how to use it. Anyhow, they are very narrow-minded, and they are very little in knowledge, but they've been established by influence of the money, unfortunately. And they started themselves by terrorizing Mecca and Medina and taking it over from the four mazhab, and they forced their mazhab up until now. Going back to 28th, the prophetic saying in this section of knowledge, hadith, the following prophetic saying, hadith, is by Sahl ibn Sa'd, may Allah be pleased with him, via the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that he said, by Allah, if Allah guide with you a man, just a single person, it is far better for you than the red camels, humur an-na'am, like valleys of red camels. Reported by Bukhari in the Virshu section and in the Battle of Khaybar in details, and Muslim in the Virshu section and Abu Dawood in the knowledge section. So in explaining this, that hadith was said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking to Imam Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him and honor his face, in the Battle of Khaybar. And as you know, he's the one who the Prophet gave him the standard, the banner, and also he's the one he single-handedly blew the door of Khaybar castle. He was, mashallah, very powerful. And this will come in details in the battles sections. So Humr an-Na'am is a kind of camels that the Arab proud of it. It's very special. So it's like the Rolls Royce of camels. And sometimes called the red camels. It looks like all of it red, while camels usually have the same desert color almost. The guidance here is the guidance of the invitation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in the Quran when it says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Indeed, you guide to the straight path. This is describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet is giving us this special hadith reward that we follow his feet step to invite people to him, to his road, okay, of the straight path, not our own, as you see in the West. Very rare that you hear the hadith of Prophet from any Muslim worker or imam, because they speak about themselves. They are mainly liberal, making money, capitalistic, and you'll be lucky in a month to hear what the Prophet said. And if even if he made a mistake and mentioned hadith just to support himself by twisting it. Okay? So you should study the hadith of Prophet, learn from him, follow him, don't follow all these guys who are really misguided themselves. So the guidance here has a very particular meaning, which means that if Allah guide a person with you, means give you the success and give you that person. Allah create of course, this guidance and the ability to be good, to worship. So this belongs to Allah. Nobody else gave that guidance. Then Allah gave the guidance to His Prophet through the revelation of Quran, Hadith, and thereby He guided to that, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet guide to Allah, and we guide the people to Allah and His Prophet by teaching them the Quran and Hadith. Okay? But the guidance as at source, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? No human having it. Okay? It doesn't matter who is he. So Allah al-Hadi, okay? And the Hidayah comes from him to our hearts. Okay? So may Allah guide you and me and forgive us. The following hadith by Abi Mas'ud al-Badri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asking him to help to bear with him something. To bear him like an oride. He said, قَدْ أُبْدِعَ بِي, I was like left out. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, go to so-and-so. So he went to him. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whosoever invite to good, for him the reward of its doer. Okay? Who practice it. Young kids, while I'm recording now, saying, Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. This is reported in Muslim in Jihad and Abu Dawood in the section of Manar, and Tirmizi in the section of Knowledge, and judged it to be fine and authentic. So, of course, this hadith gave us the virtue of inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guiding people to practice good. Okay, and to guide people to do good. The following hadith via Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the people of Yemen, arrived to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked, send with us a man in which he teach us sunnah, prophetic saying, and Islam, the religion of Islam, which is Islam Iman Ihsan, which is Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, Sirah, means the Quran and its reciting and its interpretation, as the Prophet interpreted using over 1600 prophetic saying, and the prophetic saying itself, covering lots of section as we are reading for you now, and the prophetic lifestyle and events, the history, biography and autobiography of the Prophet. When he speak about his own seerah, we have over 700 hadith the Prophet spoke about his own life. So you have mixed biography and autobiography and the jurisprudence, okay? And we have hundreds and thousands of prophetic sayings describing the jurisprudence, which was championed by Imam Shafi'i, really, to revive all this and insert it in fiqh methodology, which forced other mazhab to start doing the same. So Imam Shafi'i was the second generation, second century mujaddid, the reviver of Islam. And he has a nation of the largest nation on earth. Over 600 years ago, embraced Islam and followed Imam Shafi'i. They have millions of mosques and villages practicing Islam very nicely. Alhamdulillah, they don't have a lot of politics and a lot of playing games. So they told him, send us a man in which he teach us a sunnah and Islam. So now who's saying that? Anas, okay? He's saying the people of Yemen came to the Prophet and they asked him such and such. So he took my hand. He took the hands of Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. And he sent him with them. And he said, this is the trustworthy of this nation. Amin Hadil Ummah. That like the treasurer. Of course, the Prophet in His treasury is revelation, the Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, Sira, because he's not inherited by, in terms of gold and silver, but inherited in the knowledge, so in the Islamic knowledge. So he said this is a treasurer in a way of the Islamic knowledge of this nation. Amin hadil ummah. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ used to give him secrets. Anyhow, private. He knows about many things. Back to this hadith was reported by Ahmad, Muslim, Al-Hakim, and this statement exactly loves. You call it in hadith, loves means a pronunciation of Muslim, means sometimes the hadith very few alternative words, it's doing the same meaning. Okay? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated it using different words. So this is the wording of Muslim. Okay? So this is how elegant and how the archiving was like for over 1500 years ago is perfect, in which they take the hadith, you know how many times it came reported, maybe 6-7 times, you know every statement how it came, and if this man read it from his book or browsing it and using some meaning, his own meaning to put it, then they, when they see who's his teacher he brought it from, they compare, they can judge if he said it by meaning or exact, and so forth. So this is the reason they said you will never understand hadith till you see for it about 20 different narrations. So it become like a case study. Here is the Prophet said that, and this spite, here is the chains, and everybody said it in his collection and came downstream, and now you have all these, so you can tell exactly what the Prophet said and who said it by meaning, who kept it exactly as is, all right, and based on, and who has abridged it, who put it in it. So it's a wonderful activity they did, and they left nothing. May Allah reward them all, the scholar of hadith, over 3,000 of them, and 2,350 hafiz, and may Allah make us their servant and join them. So the hadith giving this legality of delegation, sending to teach people the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the West is missing somebody to go and teach in that kind of caliber. Not that somebody make himself a sheikh by just hanging around or going to spend 1 month in Africa and take few picture and take few pages, say, oh, I have ijazah and now I'm going to teach you. Then it turned to be, guess what? Money making machine. They call himself sheikh, Muslim worker, whatever hell he call himself. He's not real. He's like a Satan. All right? Because this is exactly what he's doing. But the pure ones will be a man like in Pennsylvania, Bawa, you know Bawa, the fellowship in Pennsylvania. He's a sincere man from Sri Lanka, came and he taught and he passed away. He didn't make a dime. All what he has when he passed away, his clothes. Thank you very much. Just a few white sheets, all right? Not asking to five-star hotels or first-class aeroplane or $10,000 as Zaytuna founder does, you know? Or supported by the cigar companies and playing politics and going shake hand with war criminal like Blair in England and trying to dialogue with them. Give me a break, huh? So going back, so this is a delegation to send the right people to teach profiting saying. And there are like the hadith of the 70 reciter of Quran, which will come in the two Sahih Muslim. Okay, that they went to teach Quran, 70, okay? So this is what we're talking about. So the hadith of Mus'ab ibn Umar, that he was the first one the Prophet ﷺ sent from Mecca to Medina before migration. He invited people to Allah and his Prophet ﷺ. And the history of Mus'ab ibn Umar is wonderful. You should read his story, because this one, he was to be a Yabi, you know. Then he turned to be most pious and brave and knowledgeable, teaching Quran, Hadith, and it is in Mustadrak also reported via Urwa ibn Zubayr, may Allah be pleased with him. This is another Hadith that the Messenger of Allah, he put Muaz ibn Jabal over Mecca, like when he left, okay, he put Muaz ibn Jabal. When he went to Hunayn battle, he put Muaz ibn Jabal in charge of Mecca, not only political, but mainly knowledge-wise, because the Prophet wasallam, he guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his political, in a way, governing, you cannot see that heavy, hardcore political in it. You will see worshipping and guidance and servitude to Allah and his Prophet. Okay, and this is what people misunderstand nowadays. They are shooting into political thing, try to make Islam as a totally Western politics, which is not right. So he ordered Muaz, look at him, he's leaving a man over the Mecca. So he's ordering a man to teach them Quran, to let them understand the religion. And also reported via Asim ibn Umar ibn Qatada that people came to the Prophet ﷺ after Uhud battle. They said that in our land, Islam is growing. So send us some of your companion to teach us Quran. And they make us jurists in Islam to understand the religion. So he sent 6 people with them. Okay, etc., etc. And also Ammar ibn Yasir, may Allah be pleased with both of them, was Ammar and his father Yasir. He said, the Prophet ﷺ sent me to a neighborhood of Qais to teach them the Sharia of Islam, Islamic studies affairs, okay? Reported by Al-Bazzar and Tabarani. And in the lecture of Omar, look at this one. This is a knockout. I challenge with this Hamza Yusuf, every big name in the West, whether he's Sufi or playing games or he's Salafi, I'll challenge him by Omar. So may Allah be our witness. Omar delivering a lecture. May Allah be pleased with him, saying, I don't send by Allah any person of my people, like civil servant, you know, in order that they beat your skin, strike you in your skin, nor to take your money. But I teach them, but I send them in order that they teach you your religion and your sunnah, I mean the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whosoever has been had, anyone is doing other than that, so let them report him to me. Like anyone get conned. If my man come and talk to you and play a game and try to snatch some worldly gain from you, taking money or something, taking your money, playing a game, leaving his role of teaching you for Allah's sake free, freely, 100%. So if someone on the side try to play a game, report to him to me right away. This report in Musnad Ahmad was an authentic Hassan chain. And there are many as such in this subject. Therefore, it's very important the people in authority, that they pay attention to the religion and guiding of the nation. As for the worldly life, everybody knows it. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, you are more knowledgeable of your dunya affairs, of your worldly affairs, reported by Muslims. The next hadith is, the next section is about what is the warning to those who conceal the knowledge and those who have a shortcoming in delivering it. Unfortunately, this is my comment again, most of Muslim workers and imams in the West have shortcoming. And also hiding it, because if he doesn't teach you hadith, guess what? He's talking all day long in the conference about how smart his brain is, telling you on ideas or reporting to you Western civilization because he read a book overnight and trying to show off with it, all right, as a great thinker. So he's hiding the hadith. He's maybe and ignorant of the hadith himself. So how he give what he doesn't have? Thereby he has a shortcoming in delivering. Okay, so those people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba who sent them, and Umar sent them, and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, and those who they sent them. Uthman sent copies of Quran. Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, like the fifth caliph, sent hadith to people, record to every town under his leadership. So what's happening? If these people come and watch what's going on in the West, they will be laughing. And they will be beating them, I tell you. Why? Because Islam now in a hard time, not Islam, I meant the Muslims, sorry, in a hard time in the Middle East and the West. And it, the reason really the conduct of the Muslim work and Muslim imams, they screwed up because they are guiding people to themselves. So you don't you have like a bankruptcy in Islamic knowledge. But if you put the Islamic knowledge in place and you call people to Islamic knowledge, you will take the ego and the self personalization out of it. So today if I go to one person and tell him the Prophet said such and such, he cannot challenge me if he's a good Muslim. But if I tell him, oh, our party prefer that we do such and such, he would tell me, forget it, put you in jail or something. So when you mention Allah and his Prophet, people will have, their approach to them will be different, that you are not doing it to take money or to take the position. I tell you a nice thing, Sheikh Sha'rawi, one of my teachers, said, the best man who makes explanation of Quran in the Middle East in this era, Sheikh Muhammad Mitwalli al-Sha'rawi. He said, I want to be ruled by Quran and Hadith, by Islam, not I want to be the ruler of it. See the difference? Because if you go try to be ruler means you really won't use Islam to take that seat. But if you want to be ruled by it, the guy who's in charge now say, hey, come on and apply Islam and we love it. He feel, hey, what I lose, this is good for me here and hereafter. Okay, so let us go to the first Hadith. Via Abi Huraira, which is his number 31, may Allah be pleased with him, said, people say Abu Huraira is saying a lot, and it is really two verses of Quran. Because of them, otherwise I will never report a hadith. Then he recited, إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلنا من البينات والهدى إلى قوله الرحيم. Those who conceal what we have sent down of guidance, of clear verses and the guidance. Then he come after reporting the ayah, he said, our brothers among the immigrants, they are busy in closing deals in the markets, while my brothers in among the supporter, they are busy in their investment in their wealth and working in it. While Abu Huraira, he combined Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just upon to on the basis of just filling his tummy. Then he come, I come and they don't come, and I memorize and they don't. He meant he step out only to throw something in his tummy, halal, and come back quickly. No business. While other they go and conduct business after Fajr, daily business, you know. So this is the reason he got more. Reported by Ahmad, I mean he got more knowledge, more hadith. It's over 5,000 hadith. But guess what? This hadith was reported by other Sahaba too. Only 46 came via Abu Huraira only. And this was, this something also defending him against Shia who playing games, trying to say he's no good guy, you know. Because Shia really accept only 250 hadith from all Ahl Sunnah, authentic hadith, which are over 10,000 profiting saying. And also Shia will not accept all the family of the Prophet, like say Imam Hassan, for example, who's elder than Hussein and his household. They just picked 13 people and that's it. So they are playing political games. Okay? The following hadith by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, O Messenger of Allah, He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever is asked of knowledge, he knows, then he concealed it, he will be put in him, in his like mouse, a bite of hell on the day of recompense, day of resurrection. You know the bite, you put it in the bite, you put it for the horse to hold him. You know, they put in the horse a bite, like a metal, in his mouth at the end, and has rope. So if you want to stop the horse, he pull that. So he, because this is, you know, it will hurt him if he doesn't stop. So a similar one, but made of fire. Reported by Ahmad, Tayalisi, Abu Dawood, Tirmizi, both of them in the section of knowledge, Ibn Majah and Hakim, and judged as authentic according to the methodology of Bukhari and Muslim, and Zahabi agreed with him. And this hadith has many supportive reportation, and three of them are very high in ranking or authenticity. One via Ibn Abbas, one Ibn Mas'ud, one on Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And Sheikh Talidi put them in a small booklet aside. So the hadith giving us a great warning for those who conceal the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will have this bite of fire in their mouths as a recompense suitable for what they have done, because they kind of stopped their revelation, you know. It means all Sahaba, they struggle, poverty, everything, obey their wills, like Imam Sayyidina Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him and them, to establish their religion, spread in almost quarter of earth over 100 years. Then you come in America or West and don't spread it. So now you are concealing it, especially if somebody asks you. And in reality, everybody asking in the West, what is Islam? When they see this terror activity driven by some people from who follow or their Mekhash to Nagd, these are the people see this behavior, so they immediately ask the question, what is Islam? Who's Prophet Muhammad these guys follow? So the question is there. But unfortunately, the people in the West, they are mainly Muslim workers try to do some apologetic and show off business, but they never sit down and teach hadith, or they have hadith channel or Quran channel or something. Then some of them, they start sitting like Iqra.com and all this stuff, or Qibla.com or Zaytuna. They're just making money, you know, $96,000 per person for one program. 1,000 person will be 96 million. Give me a break, huh? So this is selling, Islamic selling. So this kind of bite, especially, is going to be regarding the obligatory knowledge, which the knowledgeable person has no choice but to teach it, because it's obligation. So like, it's obligatory that a person be, that there is no God but Allah. So somebody has to talk about the Aqidah, okay? But not introducing the Wahhabi six upper direction, you know, idol. So since I have now a big voice next to me, I'm going to stop on this hadith, okay, number 32, and we'll start the next section, inshallah, of the manners.